Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preached this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
Glad that you are here. So here on the first Sunday during the season of Lent, I thought it would be wise to talk about our walk. We've been through this series called The Walk, where we've been looking at five practices that can ground us in our spiritual life, take our faith out of our head and our mouth and put it into our hands and our bodies and our feet in our everyday life. And I'm so glad that we get to talk about these things. They're going to define us as a church community. Today, I hope that as we begin a season of preparation, we can realize that this is the best life and that we get to do it together. So I don't know about you, but raise your hand if you also didn't grow up doing Lent as in your church. If you, like me, did not do Lent in your church. Okay, very good. When I found the United Methodist Church, I was told about Lent, and I was like, the thing you get out of the dryer or out of your navel. And I was like, what is that? You know, the season of Lent. Season of Lent is the season of preparation. Everyone say preparation. It's as we prepare our hearts for the joy of Easter. We believe that the joy of Easter is so great that we got to get ready for it. And the season of Lent is a time when we remove the things that we don't need. So it's a common Christian practice for people to give up certain kinds of food. The Tuesday before Ash Wednesday is called Pancake Tuesday or Shrove Tuesday because pancakes were considered a very rich food. And here in the United States, we call it breakfast. But people would eat these rich foods and then give them up for the season of Lent. It's identifying the things that we like, but that we don't need. And so to get our minds thinking about this, I'm going to give you an assignment to discuss amongst yourselves. So introverts, again, deep breath, I believe in you. If your house caught on fire, all right, may it never be so, but if your house caught on fire and all the people that you love are outside already and you're inside, sorry, they didn't wake you up as they were leaving, and they really should have, and I'm sorry that they didn't. All of your pets, all of your documents, your firebox, they're all outside. In fact, the first thing you think when you look outside is, oh, okay, I guess no one was worried about me. Anyway, so what is the thing that you grab? It's not an animal, it's not a person, they're all outside. It is a thing. What is the thing that you grab as you run out the door? Turn to a neighbor, bonus points if it's not someone that you brought or brought you, and discuss what is the thing that you bring. Go.
I'm expected to go back in.
All right. What are some of the things that we're grabbing? Let me see a hand or two. Tell me what you're bringing. Steve, what you bringing? Oh, no, that wasn't a hand. I'm sorry. It was just a muscle spasm. Yeah. Pictures. We're grabbing pictures. Pictures, Eileen. Your phone. Yeah, she's like, I've got a streak on Words with Friends. I got to keep it, you know? Absolutely. Penny. Your dad's Bible. Yes, absolutely. Give me two more. I want to hear two more. Hey, Rita. A what? Your computer, right, absolutely. I do love that we Americans are like the paperwork that I'll have to do if I don't have my phone or my computer, you know what I mean? Absolutely. I don't know where to begin to get a new birth certificate. Ugh, you know? Steve.
My grandfather's flag.
Your grandfather's flag, that's beautiful. Lent is about identifying the things that we need. The thing that you would see if you drove past the LeBlanc house, if it was on fire, again, may it never be so, you would see me standing in my front lawn, my girls here, my cats doing whatever they're doing, the binder that we have with everything that matters, birth certificates, social security cards, wedding license, you know, all those things, those would be out there, and I would be holding a back scratcher. Let me explain. So this back scratcher, somehow I was lucky enough to inherit it. In the LeBlanc house, there is a hope chest that weighs more than all of the LeBlancs, of all of the ephemera that you gather in a life that matters. My wife has her very first ticket stub from the Vans Warped Tour that she went to a mall to purchase. For those of the Gen Z population, you don't know what any of those words I just said meant, but just know it's a big deal. My wife is significantly cooler than I am. We have flowers from our wedding day. We have things that matter in this hope chest, and right on top on purpose is a back scratcher. This back scratcher has a lighthouse painted on it, and it's a lighthouse from my dad's hometown. In fact, I took that back scratcher with me to a tattoo shop a few years ago and asked them to put that on my inside of my arm. For those of you thinking about your first tattoo, don't do that. It was the most painful tattoo I've ever had. When he got up near my armpit, this is too much information, but you're getting it. Hi, live stream. It felt like he was tattooing my lungs. Terrible, terrible, terrible. It was my first tattoo. It's a wonder I got any more. But this lighthouse and this back scratcher means something to us. My dad was near the end of this life and about to begin the next. He was on a medicine that made him really itchy. And the back scratcher was the only thing that brought him comfort. And it became this symbol for us of loving someone so much that you just wanted to see them have a moment of comfort and relief. It was a symbol that I don't know how my sisters let me walk out of the funeral with, but it's in my hope chest. And if the house catches fire and the girls are out and the cats are wherever and that binder that contains the proof that I exist are all outside, I'm grabbing the back scratcher and running out the door. Lent is a season where we identify the things that go out the door when everything is on fire. Lent is a season, a time where we identify the bare minimum that we need. The grace that Christ gives us, the love that God gives us, we work our way down to just that. So some of you have given up chocolate. Some of you have given up coffee. Some of you have given up or have taken on prayer every day. That's the thing that I'm taking on. Maybe some of you are going to get into the closet later this week to identify the things you don't need. We're getting down to the bare minimum of what we need. To that end, there's going to be a book study that happens every Wednesday night called I've Got Questions. It's going to be led by my friend Jenny, a member of our church. You're going to be able to...
It's a different book.
It's not I Have Questions.
Field Notes for the Wilderness.
I'm super good at this job, yeah. What is it? A book study for those on the live stream starting this Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Be there. You don't even need to buy the book, but be there. The reason why we do book studies, the reason why we take some things off and put some things on during the season of Lent is because we are trying to get down to what we need as we prepare for the gift of Easter. During this whole preparation, before we got into the season of preparation, we walked through a book called The Walk. We identified the things that we were going to take on as a church family, the practices that were going to identify us as people of shepherds. We were looking at the things that we were going to do, the bare minimum that will identify our faith. And today I wanted to look at all of those things and how we can put those into practice in our life. And so before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about yolks. I'm not talking about the thing inside of an egg that makes your omelet orange. Instead, I am talking about a thing that you put on the shoulders of an animal. A yoke is something that you put on the shoulders of an ox that guides an ox or a horse or any beast of burden that directs them along. Yokes are also a thing that that men will sometimes lift weights with. I used to have a yoke at my house and I would put it on my back and I would walk around and I thought I looked so cool. And it's a thing that weighs you down, a thing that guides you, a thing that gives you a direction. Jesus, the one that we follow when he was on earth, was two things. He was a carpenter, that apparently was not a super good carpenter because he stopped doing that around 30, but he was a very, very good rabbi. Rabbis in that time would have a set of beliefs that defined who they were. The rabbis would have a set of beliefs and practices that distinguished them as unique over and against all the other rabbis. So we as shepherds, we have a yoke. We have five practices that we're going to have that are going to define us as a little bit different than even a United Methodist Church down the street. You know, we have these things that define us as who we are that show us what we are and why we do them. You know, if you have been to Shepherds since I've been here, you know that after we read scripture, we say, woo, and that is something that doesn't happen in other Methodist churches, friends, unless they have the students have attended a camp that I have preached at, and then it spreads like the flu to all the United Methodist churches in Florida, and I'm very glad that that has happened. It's good to have a legacy, I guess. These things that are distinct for us, these five practices, and we don't have them on the screen, but I'm going to try and remember them the best that I can. The first is that in evangelism, we're going to invite five people to come along with us in the life of faith as we live through the year. So every year, five people will be invited to come along with us. In worship and prayer, we're going to pray five times a day, and we're going to attend worship as often as we can, aiming for 90% of Sundays being there. And if we do that, we're going to get gold stars, because why the heck not? In service, we're going to have five random acts of kindness every week. I remind you that the book says five random acts of kindness a day, and I can't do that, so I'm not going to make you do it either. And then study. We're going to read God's word at least 5 days a week. And then in giving, it's not five. We're going to give 10% of our income. And we're going to be generous in that way. Those five practices, that's the yoke that Jesus is giving the people of Shepherds. That's the yoke that we're going to be carrying. Let us never forget that we will serve something. Let's ensure that we serve the best. We as human beings, we will serve something beyond ourselves. It might be a political party or a sports team or a city or our family, but maybe, just maybe, we as followers of Jesus could carry the yoke that Christ has given to us, the very best yoke that is possible. So the thing I'm going to say a lot today, the first thing you can write in your notes if you haven't already, or you could take notes in our Church Center app, is this: let us bear this easy yoke together for the sake of the world. Let us bear this easy yoke together for the sake of the world. Our passage today comes from Matthew chapter 11. I encourage you to take your paper Bibles if you've got them. Turn to Matthew chapter 11, or you can follow along on the screen. And like I've said before, here at Shepherds, we have a tradition where the reader will say, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Then all of you will say, thanks be to God. And then we added a little extra oomph on the end and say the word, woo. So be ready with your woo. Hear the word of the Lord. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have shown them to babies. Indeed, Father, this brings you happiness. My Father has handed all things over to me. No one knows the Son except the Father, and nobody knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wants to reveal him. Come to me, all who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble, and you will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Very good. So in this passage, we see this yoke, this expectation, this promise that we have a way of living. And we're shown at the very beginning that Jesus, when he comes to earth, the only people that are getting shown what this yoke is are babies. I love a baby. Our chapel campus, we had 36 in attendance and two babies in utero. And so we're growing the kingdom the old-fashioned way over at chapel campus. There's going to be some babies in the next couple of weeks and months. I love a baby. I love a church baby. I've talked about this before. A church baby is a baby that gets rented every worship service, gets carried around by anyone who's willing to carry that baby around. I love, if I wasn't here preaching, I would be sat behind behind a baby, making silly faces at said baby, because that's the best thing to do in church, other than, of course, listening to a wonderful sermon. I love a baby, but the thing about babies, and if there's any babies in the room, I don't want to insult you, but they're not super smart. Like, they don't know, you know, they don't know long division. They don't know how to walk, most of them. Again, I'm sorry, baby. I think he's probably sleeping. And I don't want to insult the baby, but babies know very little. And so Jesus here is talking about who this revelation is being revealed to. And it's not the wise. It's not the strongest. It's not the smartest. It's the babies. And so, friends, when we think about the yoke of Jesus, when we think about the way of life that God is giving to us, it is not that complicated. So many times we over-spiritualize and over-complicate our walk after Jesus. Growing up, I was told, you know, I got to be a good follower of Jesus. And in order to do that, I got to read the Bible every single day for 20 minutes. And I would do that for the first day or two. I'd start at the beginning and just start reading and then start dozing off. I don't know if you've read Genesis. There's a couple of good stories and there's a lot of filler, you know, and it's hard to keep going. And by day three, I'd wake up for my Bible time and I'd hit snooze and all of a sudden I'd be at school feeling like I'd failed because I was overcomplicating and over-spiritualizing a life after God. I ignored the reality that for 2 days I read a book and gave my life to the God revealed within it. I looked over those things. And when we do those things, when we overcomplicate and over-spiritualize things, these are, friends, these are shields that we put up to protect ourselves. We put these shields up because we don't want to succumb. We don't want to release our control. We want to have some control over it. And so we overcomplicate and we over-spiritualize these things to protect ourselves. But friends, hear this. A walk after Christ is never complicated. A walk after Christ is never complicated. So let us live it simply. Our yoke is simple. Let us live simply. And let us bear this easy yoke together. For the sake of the world. The next little part of the passage I want to highlight, it says this, and nobody knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son wants to reveal him. I want you to hear some really good news. We can see the face of God simply by living these practices. Do you hear this good news, friends, that you can actually see the face of God simply by being in worship? You could see the face of God by doing 5 random acts of kindness. You can see the face of God through generosity, through study, through prayer. You can see the face of God. It is the revelation that we have. The revelation of God used to be so far away, and now it is as close as an act of kindness, as a moment of prayer, as a posture of service, as presence in worship. The face of God is at hand. Don't you see? If we follow this way, we will see God. And we live in a time where the face of God can feel so clouded, so far away. We live in a time that feels violent, overly connected, so deeply lonely, that to know the face of God, to experience the face of God, would bring about a change in our neighborhood that would alter the history of so many people that live near us. So let us bear this easy yoke together for the sake of the world. Next, Christ says, come to me, all you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads. So last week, my wife and I, we flew from Tampa to Gatwick Airport in London. We wanted to see 2 bands. We wanted to see Florence and the Machine, and we were pretty certain she was not going to have a tour in the U.S., so we booked all these flights, this hotel. We bought tickets, and then as soon as that was done, Florence and the Machine announced their U.S. tour. They'll be in Orlando and Tampa. Okay? Awesome. Yeah, we make plans, God laughs, and so does Florence and the Machine. But we land, okay, it's 9 a.m. But we had left at 7:30 and I had slept not a wink. I was not at my best. And then we get on trains. I don't know if you've been on trains. It's like being in a car, but you can't control it. And a lot of smells, a lot of sounds, a lot. And then we get off of the train and we have all of our luggage. And we were gone for 3 nights, but it looked like we were moving. Like it was, we had everything, you know, table lamp, coats. We didn't have a table lamp, but we had, it's what it seemed like. And then we got off the train and then I looked at Google Maps and I was like, that hotel is not here. So we got to walk. And so we were walking with the things, and it's so heavy and beautiful London weather, 35 degrees, horizontal rain. It was terrible. I was heavy laden. I was burdened carrying these things, wondering why I packed so many books, why I didn't read any time, and schlepping it through, navigating all of the London smells and sounds, trying to get to this place, heavy burden, heavy laden. And this is what the passage is talking about in some ways, but it's also talking about others. Some of you, when you come to church, I see a burden on your shoulders, friends. Maybe it's the week behind or it's the week ahead. Some of you have gone through tragedy that this church has been able to walk through with you. Some of you are remembering things that have gone by. All of us carry a burden when we come into this space, and Christ calls to us, come to me. All you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads. Our yoke is not our salvation, but it is our life. As we carry these loads, if we take them off our shoulders and put on a new yoke, we find freedom. It's not a salvation that we earn, but instead it's a life worth living, friends. When you come into church on a Sunday morning carrying a heavy burden or anticipating a heavy burden in the week ahead, this is the place where you can hear, come to me, all of you who are heavy laden, and I will give thou rest. This is the place where we get to say, let us bear this easy yoke together for the sake of the world. I love the idea of rest. Christ will give us rest. At the beginning of this year, I caught the flu that everyone else did. It was super fun. I definitely don't recommend it. But because of that flu, I had to lay horizontal for 10 days. And by about hour 15, I was like, this is the worst. I hate this so much. But can I tell you the funny physiological thing that occurred? By about day 10, and I started to feel a little bit better, I was exhausted. All I had done was watch Ken Burns' Revolutionary War documentary, nap, and eat snacks, and I was exhausted. I rested so much, but friends, we know that that's not actually rest. Some of us, when we're so overwhelmed, we find ourselves in our bed with a tiny rectangle that tells us bad news inches from our face as we scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll. Bed rotting as we find a way to find some homeostasis, and we get up and we're exhausted. I wonder why. Rest, then, friends, true rest is not the absence of activity, it is the presence of centeredness. True rest is not the absence of activity, it is the presence of centeredness. I think we might be tired because we have lost the center. I think we've lost the center. When we doom scroll, when we bed rot, when we find ourselves horizontal against our will, we don't have a presence of centeredness. We have an absence of activity. True rest, true recuperation is something that gives us a centeredness that only Christ can give. I told you that all of us will have a yoke, right? All of us will follow something. If we continue to follow something that keeps us stymied and slow, we will not find true rest. May we find our center by putting this yoke at the center of everything. What would it look like, friends, if every morning when we wake up, we consciously put on a yoke that gave us purpose and meaning? It gave us centeredness. It reminded us that at every turn, there's an opportunity for an act of kindness, that every moment can be an object of worship, that we can be generous, that we can study and learn from God's word, that we can be in community with other people, What a gift it is, my friends, to be in this church and know that there are people that care about you and that you get to care about as well. What a gift and privilege it is to be a part of a community that sees our neighborhood as our responsibility and gives us a centeredness that is easy and light. Christ tells us, my yoke is easy to bear and my burden is light. This centeredness is not our salvation, but it is a way to live a vibrant and beautiful life. So your action is simple. I want you to carry this yoke every day. You're going to get an email this week with the 5 practices that we have as a church family. Those are going to show who we are. That's going to be your identity as a member of Shepherds. And at our Next Steps class, we're going to talk about those 5 practices and what it means to take those things on. We'll have starts, we'll have stops, we'll have failures, we'll have successes. It'll be something that we share together. And I want you to take on those practices. Friends, let us bear this easy yoke together for the sake of the world. Let's pray together. Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week. Be blessed.